when you're not visible, whose right are you talking about? So you first become visible, then the law takes notice of it and changes. That's an organic way of going about it. Morally and politically, you cannot have unequals in a free country.
You are the ally that sends me links to articles you only read the title to. You are the ally. You are the ally that will think, gosh, this couldn't possibly be a poem about me.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Roman Catholic bishops pull a proposed pastoral LGBT welcome mat, India's activists engage in culture wars, and critics offer worthwhile words on identity and allyship. All that and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Natalie Peebles.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending October 18th, 2014. The Roman Catholic Church made headlines early this week with the release of a draft document that spoke of welcoming homosexual persons and providing them a fraternal space. While maintaining the Church's stance opposing marriage equality, the document also stated that people in same-gender relationships provide precious support for each other. However, the text was widely condemned by leading English-speaking conservative Catholics as a departure from the Church's teachings. A new watered-down English-language version of the document issued later in the week instead speaks of providing for, not welcoming, homosexual persons and offers fellowship instead of fraternal space. The revised version also replaces the precious support same-gender couples give each other with valuable support. Vatican spokesperson Federico Lombardi told reporters that the updated language had been provided by the group of bishops who are working on the document in English, but that the Italian version is always the definitive text, and it has not been changed. The Spanish and French language versions have reportedly also not been changed. The bishops are meeting in Rome as part of an extraordinary gathering of church leaders called by Pope Francis I to consider the Roman Catholic Church's official approach to a variety of social issues relating to sexuality, reproduction, and the family.
As expected, Kyrgyzstan's parliament overwhelmingly passed a bill on its first reading this week that outlaws the distribution of information by groups or individuals, including journalists, aimed at forming positive attitudes toward non-traditional sexual relations. One of the bill's lead sponsors told Reuters that it was all about protecting the traditional family, and that upon its enactment, there will be no possibility to arrange gay clubs, gay cafes, or to hold gay rallies. Whereas a similar law passed last year in Russia punishes offenders with heavy fines, convictions under this law in Kyrgyzstan, a former Soviet satellite country, not only bring back-breaking fines, but also up to a year in prison. The bill passed by a 79-7 vote on October 15th. It needs to be approved in two more readings and then signed by President Almazbek Atambayev, a staunch ally of Russia, to become law. Kyrgyz lawmakers are also pushing for a law similar to Russia's that would require non-governmental organizations that receive foreign funding to register as foreign agents, an old Soviet colloquialism for spies. One of its supporters told EurasiaNet.org that the bill would protect the country from foreign sabotage and sexual emancipation. Same-gender sex in the conservative, mostly Muslim Central Asian nation was only decriminalized 16 years ago.
Meanwhile, the Pacific Island Republic of Palau has decriminalized gay sex in a revision of its penal code. Although the new criminal laws took effect at the end of July, they were only announced this week. The new code was passed by the Palau National Congress and signed into law by President Tommy Remengeso in April. Palau lies in the western Pacific Ocean east of the Philippines and is home to about 21,000 people across 250 islands. Private consensual adult gay sex was previously punishable there by up to 10 years in prison, although lesbian sex was never outlawed. Eight other nations in the region still outlaw gay sex.
In related news, lawmakers in New South Wales are joining their peers in two other Australian states to expunge criminal convictions for consensual adult gay male sex before it was legalized in the state in 1984. The New South Wales Legislative Assembly, or lower house, approved the private members' bill authored by Liberal Party MP Bruce Notley-Smith, the first openly gay man to be elected to that chamber. He believes it will also pass handily with bipartisan support in the upper house. Independent MP Alex Greenwich, the second openly gay man to be elected to the Legislative Assembly, applauded the bill's passage. "What better way to mark the 30th anniversary of decriminalization," he said, "than passing legislation that says the gay community should have never been criminalized in the first place." Victoria and South Australia have already passed similar legislation.
A memorial plaque was scheduled to be unveiled on October 18th in Paris by Mayor Anne Hidalgo to remember the last men executed in France for homosexuality. Bruno Lenoir, a cobbler in his 20s, and 40-year-old servant Jean Dio were publicly burned alive at the stake on July 6, 1750, under the country's anti-gay law. Parisian city councillor Ian Brossat told the French LGBT news site YAG that they were executed for nothing but the crime of being gay.
In happier news, the Scottish government has set the date for marriage equality, New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2014. The Marriage and Civil Partnership Scotland Act will come into force on December 16th, but there's a 15-day waiting period. Any same-gender couple in a civil partnership can also convert it to marriage, and married transgender people will not be forced to divorce or dissolve their civil partnership before applying for a change in gender recognition. The new law also says that trans people's spouses cannot block them from having their true gender recognized, as was previously the case. When 2015 dawns, same-gender couples in the entire United Kingdom will be able to tie the knot, except for Northern Ireland, where marriage equality is not even on the agenda.
Updating the growth of marriage equality in an increasing number of U.S. states, as best we can in an incredibly fluid situation, gay and lesbian couples began tying the knot this week in Arizona after a federal judge officially declared that state's ban on civil marriage for same-gender couples to be unconstitutional. And in Idaho, after Republican Governor Butch Otter decided not to appeal the Ninth Circuit ruling that confirmed the ban in his state to be unconstitutional.
Several lesbian and gay couples were expected to begin marrying by week's end in Alaska, following a federal judge's ruling on October 13th overturning that state's ban and his refusal to issue a stay. Officials in the remote northern town of Barrow already waived the usual 3-day waiting period and allowed two lesbian couples to be the first to wed in the state.
A federal judge in Wyoming also ruled this week that the state cannot deny marriage licenses to same-gender couples. He put his ruling on hold until October 23rd to allow state officials time to appeal if they so desire, or forever hold their peace. But marriages in Wyoming could start earlier than that. Republican Governor Matt Mead, who's up for re-election, said during a candidates' debate earlier in the week that the state shouldn't appeal what was then an anticipated ruling. And on October 17th, his office confirmed that the Wyoming Attorney General will file notice with the court that the state will not appeal.
Lawsuits are underway challenging the bans in South Carolina, Montana, Kansas, and Puerto Rico. A ruling by the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is imminent and affects civil marriage bans in Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee. The 5th Circuit will consider marriage bans in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas, while an 11th Circuit ruling will affect bans in Alabama, Florida, and Georgia. And finally, the 8th Circuit will consider bans in Arkansas, Missouri, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Nebraska. It's generally agreed that the Supreme Court will only step in if one or more of those circuits upholds state marriage bans. If none does, marriage equality will have become the law of the land without further high court intervention. Meanwhile, the U.S. Justice Department announced that it will now recognize the marriages of gay and lesbian couples in Colorado, Indiana, Nevada, Oklahoma, Utah, Virginia, and Wisconsin, giving them access to all the federal benefits available to legally married couples.
Equality activists in Taiwan have kept up the pressure on government officials to open civil marriage to same-gender couples there. Depending on which media report you want to believe, a demonstration in support of marriage equality outside the Taiwanese parliament building in Taipei earlier this month drew anywhere from 2,000 to 20,000 people. A bill to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples has been stalled in Parliament for more than a year. Even though about 200 Christian fundamentalists protested a public hearing on the issue this week, legislator Yu Mainu has vowed to put a marriage equality bill on the agenda of this parliamentary session. In addition to religious fundamentalists, opposition has also come from conservative politicians who insist that the Taiwanese people are not ready for marriage equality. One lawmaker also argued that changing man and woman, husband and wife, and father and mother to gender-neutral terms in the island's marriage laws would involve too many regulations.
And finally, while marriage equality in Taiwan appears to be moving at the proverbial snail's pace, scientists there have paid tribute to the effort and diverse families with their name for a newly discovered species of land snail that's native to the island. The snail is widespread throughout eastern Taiwan, but was previously mistaken for a closely related species and is in fact more like a land snail from Ishigaki Island in Japan. Lead researcher Dr. Yen Cheng Li reported in the scientific journal Zookies that the Taiwanese snails are hermaphrodite animals, which means they have both male and female reproductive organs in a single individual. They represent the diversity of sexual orientation in the animal kingdom, he continued. We decided that maybe this is a good occasion to name the snail to remember the struggle for the recognition of same-sex marriage rights. The new Taiwanese land snail species has been named Aegista diversifamilia.
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 18th, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Natalie Peoples.
In late-breaking news from the Vatican, Roman Catholic bishops have rejected both the progressive LGBT-welcoming draft of their document on ministering to families and its watered-down, not-so-welcoming revision. Some observers believe that the 118-62 defeat of the compromise version was in part a protest vote by LGBT-supportive bishops. As they returned home, the bishops were charged to reflect on the issue before they meet again next year.
Extra, extra, read all about it, extra.
Have you checked our website lately? For now playing information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to thiswayout.org.
Speaking out on sexual and gender politics from Mumbai to Brooklyn, later in the program.
Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am what I am.
Who you are is the topic of two nonfiction picks from our literary commentator, Janet Mason.
Reading two new books on LGBTQ identity gave me pause to reflect on the fact that identity is an ongoing issue for us all. Perhaps this is particularly true as the mainstream wishes to assimilate us. A positive view of LGBTQ, Embracing Identity and Cultural Well-Being by Ellen D.B. Riegel and Sharon S. Rostowski, Roman and Littlefield, 2012, talks about the unique strengths that being LGBTQ can engender, including looking at relationships differently, having compassion for other oppressed groups based on their own outsider status, and using the introspection that comes from the necessary self-understanding about your sexual orientation or gender identification to be true to yourself in all ways. A 57-year-old trans woman from Arizona says, "The transition in crossing genders was a spiritual adventure to me. Facing all the fears that are there, such as losing one's job, losing friends, losing finances, and one's home, was very fearful. Facing these fears and realizing I was willing to lose all these things to be myself was a sacred and spiritual experience. To walk through the possibilities of losing everything gave me an understanding of what the Buddhists call attachments to desire. And when I lost these attachments, it felt as though I had entered a new world where everything is possible and magic is all around." Living Out Ism, Voices of Gay, Lesbian, and Transgender Muslims by Scott Siraj, Alhaq Kugel, New York University Press, 2014, examines the lives of Muslim LGBTQ people who live in democratic countries such as the United Kingdom, Canada, the Netherlands, and the United States, where it is safe to be out and to be activists. The book emphasizes that a key tenet of the Muslim religion is to protect the vulnerable and help the downtrodden. The book is based on interviews designed to capture something of the unique personality of the activists interviewed while highlighting themes that many have in common. All those interviewed have a very strong relationship to their faith. One lesbian recounts her struggle with getting her family to see the situation as she did. "I didn't see any contradiction between my being Muslim and my being a lesbian. Islam is a loving faith. It is accepting of diversity and is about justice. My faith has always kept me going." While Living Out Islam will be of most interest to Muslim people who are LGBTQ, it also serves as a helpful resource for their families and friends, as well as for those in the non-Muslim LGBTQ community who want to better understand and empathize. Reading these two books back-to-back reminded me that identity is almost always multi-layered, and at the same time fragile. It's important to remember who we are. This is Janet Mason with commentary on queer life and literature for This Way Out.
When allies fail, poetry prevails. Here on This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. But first... we last heard from Sapphic Nomads Katie Cook and Maggie Young on their visit to India. The intrepid documentarians stayed a while longer in Mumbai to spend some time with a psychologist and couples therapist.
In this third installment from our four-part series from India, we talked to Deepak Kashyap, a psychologist and couples therapist living and working in Mumbai, India. Curious about gender dynamics within India, we asked Deepak about his thoughts on gender politics between men and women within the queer movement.
The gender politics at the polity level, I think we, on papers, we are required to see them as equals. Now, laws don't change cultures. Cultures can change laws. But if you force a law on an existing culture, it will take a long time before it changes. For example, first we changed the culture. We had been fighting for the whole gay rights thing from, I think the first time we applied to the government was sometimes in the 90s. But then we started changing the culture bit by year by year by year. And first we held a gay pride parade. We became visible. Here we are fighting for our rights. When you're not visible, whose right are you talking about? Right? So you first become visible, then the law takes notice of it and changes. That's an organic way of going about it. So on papers, we are required to be same towards women and men, and you know, the whole idea of gay rights, the gay word has to include women. But because not a lot of gay men make room for women, you require a different terminology, thereby is subsuming gay as a label in a larger queer concept, the concept of being queer. So the politics around it is such that, now you look at it this way, two vulnerable groups already, okay? They interact with each other and they suddenly don't find too much in common, surprisingly. But morally and politically, you cannot have unequals in a free country. Now, this is an ideal which comes from the Age of Enlightenment in England. When people say, oh, this is all gay rights and everything is Western concept, I kind of agree that this whole thing is Western import, because the idea of giving equal rights to people. Not homosexuality is not a Western import, of course. It's a human condition. The whole gay rights thing is a Western import because we don't have a culture of giving equal rights to people. you are an untouchable. Oh, I am. You are the Shudras, and I am the Rajput, and I am the Brahmin, and I'm the Pan. So we've always had an acceptance for inequality. So this whole egalitarian idea of enlightenment age is coming to India. Like, no equal rights. Why are you doing? What is equal? So India's definition of equal is some people are more equal than others. And then women get like the second layer. Women are not as equal as men. So this entire idea of equality is a Western import, and I would rather I import this. I'd rather that we use this as a foil. Because it also, see, India is the only country in the world where you'll see social power, economic power, and political power being at three different junctures. You could be economically powerful, but nothing socially if you are not of a good caste. A Brahmin, a poor Brahmin can look at you and say, you're not a Brahmin. So it's the only country where social importance, economic importance, and political power can be at three different areas.
We then asked Deepak about his work as a couples therapist.
The same problem is anywhere. A relationship is a relationship is a relationship. It just comes with different genitals, trust me. It's the same 7 to 8 problems that go on in a couple's life. Demand for reciprocity, fairness, you're not being fair to me, I'm not visible, you don't listen to me, do I matter to you? Am I of any significance in your future? Where is my place? It's the same thing that we've been craving from childhood. Mom, do you love me? Do you look at me? It's a beautiful but a very seductive trap that we make our partners, our parents. This whole smuggling in of love patterns in the way we love our parents, in the way we love our lovers. What psychological need do you think the baby talk fulfills? Security. I can trust you. I can be my vulnerable childish self in front of you and hope that you'd protect me and love me. And you won't judge me for the worst in me, but you would push yourself to understand the worst in me. Straight and gay couple, it is so beautiful to see that we share the same trials and tribulations and triumphs of humanity.
This concludes the third part of our 4-part series from India. To learn more about our Sapphic Nomads project, please visit our website at www.nomaddocumentary.com, or you can visit our Sapphic Nomads Facebook page. Till next time, this is Maggie Young with fellow Sapphic Nomad Katie Cook, reflecting on our time in Mumbai, India, for This Way Out.
And finally this week, Brooklyn, New York-based black, trans, queer, rowdy-as-hell poet J. Maids III has a few words for shaky supporters.
You are the kind of ally that spends more time asking me how to twerk than how to pronounce my name. Woo! You are the kind of ally that doesn't know what cisgender means but loves staring at my chest before you address me. You are the kind of ally that makes me wonder who my enemies are and trips over words like transphobia and white supremacy. You are the kind of ally that will practice your sassy black woman voice in the mirror, but cross the street when black folks pass by you on street corners. You are the kind of ally that just showed up to help gay people at fancy weddings. You are the kind of ally that wants to take pictures together just for advertising purposes. You are the ally that calls my family's neighborhood up and coming but would never want to bring up the word gentrification. You are ally on white horse, seemingly scooping down to rescue me from my own depravities. You are the kind of ally that shops only at Whole Foods. You are the ally that doesn't realize being gay won't save you from your white privilege. You are the ally that tells old black men how adorable they are. You are the ally that sends me links to articles you only read the title to. You are the ally. You are the ally that will think, gosh, this couldn't possibly be a poem about me. You are ally waving righteous sword that loves to hear me tell a sad story over and over again because vicariously living my pain gives you a street cred. You are the kind of ally that thinks intersectionality uses too many syllables. You are the ally that thinks it's okay to describe someone as having the nerve to be both big and black. You are the ally that loves the texture of my hair. You are the ally that thinks fucking me is the same thing as fighting for me. You are the kind of ally that thinks you are hilarious when you rap. You are the ally that writes depressing poems in my honor but never fully gets my complexities. You are the ally that has enough time to Google celebrity sex tapes but not rules on allyship. You are the ally that celebrates don't ask, don't tell because kids that look like you will never be forced to cross seas to bomb kids that look like them just so they can have fictitious freedom. You are the ally that thinks being accepted is the same thing as being understood. Yeah. You are the ally that laughs way too hard at my jokes. You are the kind of ally that will share a poem like this on YouTube but will never listen to the words. You are the kind of ally that likes to use the word minorities. You are the kind of ally that believes being on food stamps for your adult AmeriCorps position is the same as a 10-year-old brain eating itself for nourishment. You are the kind of ally that thinks I talk too loud when I'm angry. You are the ally that thinks rape is funny because it hasn't happened to you yet. You are the ally that thinks saying you are colorblind is a compliment. You are the ally that thinks believing in systemic oppression is an option. You are the ally that will fuck up my pronouns but think it's okay because we're friends. You are the kind of ally that will need to appropriate some yoga after this poem. You are the kind of ally that will only remember to that last line about yoga in this poem. You are the ally that never has to progress because you hide behind a title proclaiming yourself to be my ally.
That was Jay Mays III performing Hashtag Ally Fail at the Capturing the Fire 2014 Queer Spoken Word Summit and Slam in Washington, D.C. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Natalie Peoples, Michael LeBeau, Janet Mason, and Sapphic Nomads Maggie Young and Katie Cook contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. John Barrowman performed some of the music you heard, Jay Mays III performed Hashtag Ally Fail, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and our generous listeners for supporting this program. You can find lots of information about the show, including mugshots of the crew, at thiswayout.org, including online listening and social media links. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on CFXU, Antigonish, Nova Scotia, WRUW, Cleveland, Ohio, KMUN, Astoria, Oregon, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.